Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
So if you need to tell the world about Bumble, mate.
Bumble.
I sent him the new version of the Airbuster theme from Final Fantasy VII, the remake, which I think is one of the sweetest compositions that humankind's ever put together. And he went, I'll tell you what, I'll do you one better, Scott Hill. But he sent me a little thing and he sent me the Bug Bumble theme.
the exact composition I've got it here is, sorry, but this is nothing compared to, and then I linked him the Buck Bumble. If you've not heard the Buck Bumble theme, imagine going back in time and listening to the Jungle is Wicked. Jungle's massive song.
Or the Umbongo theme.
Yeah, like all the way back there, do that. And it's basically that for a video game. But Bumble, absolute legend. Love it to pieces.
I was very excited. I am very excited right now because my orders have just been dispatched for GoldenEye on the N64 and Pokemon Snap, which I know I'm late to the party. I've played a little bit of GoldenEye over the years. But my point was mentioning that is that I love my N64. I know I got it. I got it for my 30th. But when you say Bug Bumble, I remember when I first got my N64 and Ben Roy trolled me half to death I'll bring you the best game. And he brought me Buck Bumble, and yeah. I just thought, no, you've poisoned the well. I can't take Buck Bumble seriously anymore, and I've tried.
But Scott Telford, though we're talking here on the podcast, what is the podcast and who are we?
Well, yeah. This is the Untitled Banter podcast. I'm Scott Telford, joined by Jules Gill.
Hello.
And each week we tend to ask people what their thoughts are on whatever the hell's happening in the gaming industry. We tend to get a bunch of food questions and things as well.
Because we are clearly a food gaming channel now.
Yes, we've got our own cocktail. We've got different sort of associated things. Gown Gang represent. If you've got your dress and gown gang. Would also recommend a White Russian alongside. But yeah, lovely response this week. As is always, thank everybody very, very much for everything they sent in. Yep. I do want to maybe do another sort of, maybe next week or at some point in the future, go back into some of the other questions because we've got the take trough overfloweth. With the
it
amount of stuff.
It doth overspill.
It doth drip. And I want to get around to some different things in time. But I've tried to sort of focus on obviously the newest questions that came in, and I've got a whole bunch for us to get through. So, first question from Luke Cullen, who says, hey, legends, thank you for these amazing pods. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, cheers, bud.
Their days are never boring with these and wrestling podcasts. What was the biggest missed opportunity of the eighth generation of games? It can be from a hardware standpoint, even something as small as a DLC map. Was there anything PT for me, obviously.
Obviously. I mean, like, I still, like, think to myself, like, what could have been? What could have been if we'd got PT, Silent Hills? But I think one of the biggest missed opportunities is why the hell GTA 5 never got any single-player DLC? It's one of those things there where, like, Rockstar were just like, oh, don't worry, GTA Online's coming. And then it obviously dropped the same time as, like, the PS4 version did. And it was like, it just happened to coincide with the PS4 release. Like, I'm definitely weren't developing it just for that. Like,
it's, I mean, the amount of stuff that they seem to have canned or put to the side for the sake of prioritizing GTA Online. Like, I'm doing a list at the minute on big franchises that could return or are returning on the new generation of consoles. And I look back and it's weird that GTA qualifies for that. I put it in as an honorable mention because I was like, well, the last main installment was actually on PS3 and Xbox 360.
Which is mad to think about, isn't it?
Yeah. But I mean, in terms of like GTA, I guess, yeah, even Rockstar and stuff, missed opportunity Rockstar in general. Like, you compare the output from the 2000s to what they didn't do in the 2010s, and they've put like three games out, Max Payne 3, Red Dead 2, and GTA 5.
I'm trying to think of like games that were like, I feel never really got the chance to shine in that generation as like the missed Warriors. Opportunities. But obviously it's Dynasty Warriors. I mean, everything is about Dynasty Warriors. The Samurai Warriors, Orochi Warriors, Gundam Warriors, mate, One Piece Hyrule Warriors, Hyrule Warriors. my trough again doth overspill and it's dripping into my mouth. But in terms of like, in terms of a missed opportunity, I'd maybe say that some of the Warhammer games that they kicked out around the 8th generation didn't do so well. For example, I don't know, you won't have played this, but Blood Bowl. It's like American football.
I've seen Blood Bowl. Yeah, I haven't played it.
Yeah, they really picked up the ball, so to speak, in the second game. In the first game, they released it with like a horrendous glitch that they never patched out, where you could have two skills that you're not legally allowed to have in the board game. Like, because it says that if you have these two skills, you could basically break your character. And in the game, the enemy AI would always choose these two skills. And you're like, okay, cool. Like, I'm going to really struggle to win against this now because you're just going to like kill my characters. Thanks.
Because it feels like for as massive as Warhammer is, like, I don't feel like there's a crowning game that you can recommend to everybody. Like, it's not like there's, you know, like there's all these like wider sort of franchise tie-ins to stuff, but I don't feel like Warhammer has like an entry point in the gaming sphere.
There are many great Warhammer games, but because of Games Workshop's sort of want to franchise it out to literally anyone, the range of quality between them is just ridiculous. Like, I went online just to do I foolishly pitched to our bosses to do every Warhammer game ranked from worst to best. And then suddenly was just like clicking through like, oh my God, there are way more than I remember and have actually played. And I do not want to sit through some trashy mobile games and stuff like that they've
kicked out. Do you think we could get a Warhammer game on the go? Just sort of... Well, me and eggs you. And spikes. Yeah, just because I don't know. I'm lost off with what franchises cross over. But my wife's reading Gotrek and Felix, which I think is
They are. Yeah, they're Warhammer fantasy. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking in the vein of that, just sort of Egg Daddy and Spike Man, and just that'll be. You know,
I'd love
just
to
run
tell
with
of our adventures. They always do. They've got in 40K. They've got a which is like the sci-fi version of the Warhammer universe. They've got another pair that goes around and does it. They love theirs. Duos,
buddy cop comedies.
So, we're the original Odd Couple, but we shoot people in the face instead of asking questions.
We've got these crystals. Want some crystals?
Who doesn't want crystals? And at the end of the day, if anyone looks at you the wrong way, you just yell for the Emperor and shoot them in the face
and turn them into a sheep.
Yeah, exactly.
Next question from Schmance Schmilliamson.
Amazing.
I had to do that very slow. What kind of cereal are you working with over there? My favorites are Lucky Charms, Fruit Loops, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Reese's Puffs, and Count Chocula, which is a Halloween seasonal cereal.
Okay, I just got diabetes listening to that list. that is a sugar-filled breakfast.
That's a lot of sugar.
Bomb,
mate. Yeah.
Ooh, it reminds me of the sort of piss take cereal that they have in the Fallout universe, the sugar bombs or sugar atoms or whatever they're called. Like, it's just frosted coats and so much sugar in it.
At what point are you just having like a little teaspoon of sugar? Like, you might as well just be eating sugar. Like, you know when Homer just eats the sugar in The Simpsons?
But that's what ricicles were. Do you not remember? Oh, it was just kind of like, hey kids, do you like Rice Krispies? Yeah. It's like, do you want more sugar on them? Yeah. Well, here you go.
To be honest, I think in my, because I remember, this is a weird childhood memory, I remember having marshmallow-based cereal when I was very young, and then I grew older and I got a consciousness, one of the two, both, and I really wanted it again. And I remember asking my mum, can we go back to the supermarket because I want to get this thing, but I couldn't think of it at all and we couldn't find it, and I thought it was ricicles, but they didn't have marshmallows in.
It's because your brain had been turned into a marshmallow by all of the sugar that you've been eating by that
just
point.
Injecting it. I think over enough time, I think it was Lucky Charms that I'd somehow had when I was a kid before they sold them regularly in the UK, but I never found that mythical cereal.
Now, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you want to look at this, we are catching up to America in terms of what mad stuff will we turn into a cereal? Because I was walking down the cereal aisle the other day, and it's just like, I remember back in the day, it used to be simple. It used to be like cornflakes, Frosties, if you're feeling a bit posh, maybe crunchy nut. But no, now we've got goddamn Lion Bar as its own cereal. And also Oreo. Oreo's got its own cereal.
There's an Oreo cereal.
I shouldn't have told you this.
No, you shouldn't. I'm going to leave the podcast right now. What do you mean there's an Oreo? What?
There's an Oreo cereal, yeah.
Okay.
No, not okay.
I'll take that. I don't know if I ever told you, but when I was a student, I made my own Oreo cereal by getting all the mini Oreos and putting them in a bowl with a lot of milk. No. I remember sending that out. I think I tweeted it. It was Facebook or something. And I was like, guys, the Oreo cereal, look. And a bunch of my friends just being like, oh my God, what? They sell this? And I was like, no, I've crafted this myself.
Well, they've clearly stolen your idea and taken it forward another 10 years later or what?
As well, they should have done. In response to the question, what cereal are we working? Well, I love all the cereals, but they're never that good for me in the morning. I always find that calorie-wise, I'm just better off not having them. And
we're unfortunately at the point now that once we hit 30, it's that sort of like, oh, I guess I better give up everything that causes me any form of pleasure. Oh, bye, sugary cereal.
Now like, I'm a stone heavier.
Good morning, acid reflux. Oh, hello, good to see you.
Like, my old friend.
I mean, this is the thing. I'm going to sound like such an old man. I bloody love like granola and muesli. I love it. I think it's so nice.
Yeah, but you're a hiking man. You're gallivanting, but you've got all the vertical surfaces. You can't get enough of them. I'm very horizontal. I don't need to go anywhere at all. I don't need all this
If we're going to pick like the best childhood cereal, for me, it has to be Wheatos for one particular reason. Not only were they so crunchy that they would destroy the roof of your mouth after eating a few of them, but they were so, so chocolatey, but also Professor Wheato. Me and Hamflet were talking about the other day. We were looking at his character design and just being like, there's something very odd about this guy. What is it? Why is this like clearly Nobel award-winning scientist, like this crazy, crazy intelligent man? Why is he dedicating his life to cereal? Mm-hmm. And then we both saw it. His glasses that he wears on his face, they're also Wheatos.
You did not notice this as a child?
He's insane.
Easter eggs you totally missed on the Wheatos box. He's had the glasses on the whole time. Next question from Sean McBride. He said he references the fact that I said I was going through Sonic Adventure in 2021. Yep. So as a wider question, what is a game that you went through recently after never thinking you'd play it again? Also, go on yourself, UPP, because he's Scottish.
UPP.
We didn't even do that at the start. UPP, I know, but you know.
Yeah, but to be fair, though, starting this podcast is basically just like, you know, when Homer invents the makeup gun, it's just kind of like, look into the barrel, friend, pull the trigger, let's go.
I send Jules a link and then we start talking and at some point I hit the record button and then we just go into half an hour of whatever happens.
Never know when it's going to happen as well. So it's just like a case of like, when will the sword of Damocles drop upon
me? I wait for him to get all of his allegations out of the way and then I hit the record button. I went back to the 2014 Wolfenstein very recently. I forget what made me want to do it. I think it was because it was on sale, and I own it anyway on 360. But I just fancied it. Yeah, I fancied a little bit of it on the side, and I thought of I went back to Wolfenstein because I'd never actually finished the 2014 one. But I do love Wolfenstein 2. I know that game's a bit more divisive. It's quite short. And I know that you and Rich quite kind of bounced off it a little bit. But that first one though. For me, I mean, I think I'm about halfway through. I'm doing the bit where you're underwater and you've got that weird little makeshift sub.
You've got to go
get some plans to go to the Illuminati style base. It's a whole thing. But that game, my problem with it, the reason I dropped off it initially was because there's so many encounters with bosses in that game where it's like big hulking mech thing, takes a million bullets to put down. Also, you've got the health of like a flea. So like you try and take something on, you get knocked down. And so I don't know if I'm playing it wrong, but like so many times I run around and I'm like, I find seven bullets because I just discarded somewhere. I find seven bullets, I shoot my seven bullets, and then I run away again because I can't stand in the way of the fire anymore. And so I remember giving up on the game because of this, because I was like, I don't know what you want me to be. I can't be big action man because I'm getting cut to ribbons, but I also can't be stealthy because you've got a boss fight. And I was like, I just don't know what I'm doing wrong.
There's nothing you're doing wrong. There's just a lot of difficulty spikes in that game. Mm. And it's like the Bethesda took the design ethos from the Doom 2016 reboot and applied it to this, but forgot to give you a hulking superpowered Doom Slayer of a person to play as.
It's just, it's like, because I love the whole hold LB or hold L1 and you can kind of like aim around corners like Medal of Honor Airborne, like
which really does help.
And like that whole like, I know, like systematically taking a place apart through stealth and headshots, like that's great, but then it's like, hey, what if you use that same health allocation to fight a mech? And I'm like, how? It just kills me in like three shots. So I'm loving it, but and I love the cutscenes. I love BJ Blazko. It's like what a brilliant version take on that character. So that would be mine.
For me, I'm playing through at the moment the Banner Saga again. I think it's just a phenomenal game. Mm-hmm. Austin Wintory, I believe, did the soundtrack to it.
Was that him? I love Wintory.
I think it is him. And I think that one of the reasons that I'm so like in love with it is because it's just a passion project through and through, like the meticulously hand-drawn animation style. The music that was created for it, they actually went back and recreated old instruments from like the medieval times so that they got an authentic thing. Like when they do like the hurdy-gurdy sound effects, they actually built one using this like old blueprint they found. Like, it's really cool. And I'm doing that on the Live and Let's Dice channel, like a full playthrough. Admittedly, my playthrough is slightly different in the fact that you've obviously played it before. It's very somber, very like atmospheric.
Have you got all your little notifications covered in?
Well, no, I've decided to do it so that every single character's got a voice. So like you've got like Christopher Walken talking to Mickey Mouse, who's then like rushes into battle to try and save Yoda. It's
that'll be good when the characters start dying.
Like all of the people in the chat, they're just kind of like, oh, this is brilliant, this is hilarious. But what's going on? Is they're like, my son is dying. Like, it's
my son. Banner Saga, I never played part three. I got about halfway through part two and I really loved it as well. I just sort of dropped off it in amongst everything else that was coming out. But have you finished the whole trilogy before? Or are you going through
I have, them? Yes. And I plan to go through all of them. I'm going to do the first one on stream and then I'll probably just play the second and third one for personal laughs, unless the people want me to carry it on. But two introduced a few new things, but I do feel like the story length was a lot. It kind of wore you down a bit quicker than Banner Saga 1 did. And then 3 came along and does actually revitalize a lot of what made the first one so great. So I would say that it's like, it goes in terms of like the ranking of it, it goes 1-3-2 for me. I know that a lot of people say 2 is better because of its more combat focus, but I just like the narrative drive of the first one.
It's the art style and the music. Like, oh god, I didn't realize that was wintry, but it makes perfect sense. But what a lush trilogy.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you for your question,
bomb. Next question from Alex. Do you two reckon there's any chance in the hell wherein we currently reside of Titanfall 3 coming our way soon? No.
My poor boy. My son.
Look what they did to my boy. One ray of light, one little torch, one little thimble of light in the smog was that interview between Laura Meal, EA's chief studios officer, with IGN, talking about the fact that internally all promises, whatever, all plans for the future titles are being given to the developers. So she said that it was up to Respawn whether they do Titanfall 3 soon or whatever they do next. But I guess right now they're doing Apex, they're doing Jedi Fallen Order 2. So
you've got to kind of look at what Apex was like. Apex could have easily just been rebranded as Titanfall the Battle Royale, and they did add in like a lot of quirk and humor into it, but I definitely think that you look at the bones of it and it is kind of like that. It gives off that vibe through and through. I think And I'm very glad, by the way, that Scott recommended Titanfall 2 to me. You recommended it again and again and again, and I finally got to play it. And I was like, that that whole level where you're running through the house construction.
I
was like, this may well be one of the finest constructed first-person shooter levels I've ever played through. And I was like, I sat there after I'd finished like playing that section. I was like, my God, how did no one play this game? It's so lovable.
Well, that's welcome to the living hell that is recommending this game, because it came out a week after Infinite Warfare and a week before Battlefield, completely buried. But that game, just because Respawn are such great devs, like they apparently, the design doc they had, the mission statement for that game was, let's think of as many cool first-person shooter sequences as possible, and then we'll write a story around it to stitch them all together. Yeah. So they thought of like, what if you were fighting inside a series of houses that were being constructed? And what if you were fighting between two different time periods and you could walk between them?
It's what I love about them is the fact that they took those ideas, and I'm not like bagging on the Call of Duty franchise or the Battlefront Battlefield Bilbo ones. They come up with ideas that are set pieces that are outside of the player's control. Like say they'll be like, oh, and then a helicopter comes down and explodes here, and now you're fighting your way through this like oil field that's been set on fire.
All you're doing is holding up on the analog stick.
Whereas in like Titanfall, they were just like, okay, here's a cool set piece, and now you've got verticality. All these other things are coming into it, and the level design itself is organically like moving around. And I was like, okay, they've clearly thought about this with the player in mind rather than what the person watching the player do, which I swear is like Call of Duty and Battlefield's prerogative. They don't want necessarily what you experience to be good. They want people watching you streaming to be like, oh wow, that looks great. Like,
I think it's interesting because I think as like gaming's got bigger, the audiences have got bigger, and the mainstream audience wants to be blown away by something. So I think they put those, it's almost like a tutorialized set piece without you sort of realizing, but it's they want to try and quote unquote guarantee that everyone is getting an incredible experience, which means taking your hands off the controller as much as possible. And
but it means that everyone gets the same experience. Whereas Titanfall 2, I could probably say that even though you and I went through the same level, we might have approach the problem from different things.
I still remember there's one bit when I was inside one of the houses, like I said, as it's being constructed, and a set of stairs, like the staircase, got thrown in front of me. So I ran up that and jumped off it and shot some of the dudes, then grapple hooped around, and I was like, this is everything. Titanfall 2 is good. Absolutely stellar. So yeah, I mean, Titanfall 2 or the Titanfall franchise, it's like well regarded, but whenever someone brings it up, you get fans like us being like, oh my God, more people should try this. But I think in terms of where Respawn are at, they have the other Star Wars game to do, and then I guess we'll see, but hopefully they'll do it. They've been given the green light internally, so maybe. Next question from Sawyer, quite a quick one. What is the best movie trilogy ever?
Oh, God, I already know what you're going to say. I already know what you're going to say.
What am I going to say, Jules? Is it?
You're going to say The Lord of the Rings.
I'm not. I'm going to say Kung Fu Panda, mate, but near enough.
What the?
The Kung Fu Panda.
I've no idea. Like that laugugh was apparently so powerful it killed me. Or you can't tell.
I just sent you a picture on Slack of you were laughing so much that you froze. I thought you were still laughing. I laughed more, then realized you were essentially dead, and I had to sort of try and find an edit point.
Actually killed me then. But yeah, I can't believe that you said Kung Fu Panda.
Dude, Kung Fu Panda is the Titanfall of movie franchises. If people would give it a shot, I'm sure they'd love it. It's brilliant. It's so well put together, mate. Have you seen them? They're really good.
I have seen them. They are really funny. And I'm always struggling now to come up with like a way of like...
The thing is, like, it's... I will genuinely say it's a remarkably solid trilogy, but three is weaker than the first two. But if we're doing actual best movie trilogy ever, for me, it is going to be Lord of the Rings, because that is the highest bar of quality the whole way through. You don't have any... Star Wars is sky high. It's right next to it, but the Ewoks do knock it down, even though I don't personally mind them. Pace-wise, they get right in the way.
I think that for me, I'm going to do Back to the Future. I can watch it anytime. It's just one of those films that you just... Stick it on, mate. Stick it on.
Stick it on, pal.
Stick it on, pal.
Back to the Future, I've not seen the third one. Is that not when they go back to the Wild West?
That one is definitely the weakest entry in the... Thank you for bringing it up.
We don't talk about the third one.
The problem with the third one is that whereas the first one sets up this brilliant idea, and it's just like, it's got some very dark elements to it, and it's a very enjoyable romp. The second one builds on it, but it's more sort of like campy and over the top with the futuristic futuristic vibe and the hoverboard scenes and things like that, that obviously like they make the film like, iconic. The third one, it just kind of takes all the momentum and just goes, but what if it was a Wild West where none of the technology and, none of, and you're like, oh, okay.
I always love when a random sequel just goes, well, you know, all that stuff that you liked us for, what if we just didn't do it? What if we just did something completely different? You know, banter.
It's still very satisfying, but I remember just watching that final image of the like the space train like flying off into the distance and being like, why? Like, okay, bye.
Next question from Ayaran6. Can Xbox's new acquisition of Bethesda's, like I see Microsoft's acquisition of Bethesda, improve Bethesda's overall game performance, like help clean up the game's bugs and so on? This is just an interesting question because once Bethesda become part of the Xbox brand and they're being front-loaded as part of all their sizzle reels and everything, then assumedly they need to have the level of polish and quality testing that Sony exclusives do and Nintendo exclusives do. What do you think of that stuff? Because I don't think Bethesda will change, but I see the angle.
I actually would like to be more positive and say that this will actually kick them up the arse to not be able to deliver stuff that has to have like 5 gigabyte day one patches and all these other stuff. I think that in this current climate as well, when you've seen how certain titles in the AAA sphere have been absolutely lambasted and torn apart for arriving with a litany of bugs. I mean, Cyberpunk, for people who weren't playing it on the PC, for example, is a great example of that. The PR damage that it does is pretty horrendous now. Like, it's the new big thing for people to absolutely chastise a franchise for. And if Microsoft have already taken a lot of flack for buying Bethesda with people being like, why would you want it sort of thing for that amount? It's on in their best interest to turn this developer around to a point where they are respected in the community. And the first way they do that is by making sure that the products they put out are working.
There's also like the whole like aspect to like all the money grubby stuff that they've done recently. Like, there was all the Fallout 76's launch was such a mess. All the deluxe editions were completely oversold. And there was all the stuff with Fallout Shelter, which was, you know, there's just all these different practices that they put in that seemed very money first, or seemed very sort of like ill thought out and prioritized money, microtransactions, page creation club stuff, whatever. Their money is more than taken care of now. Like, they are completely bought out. So you would assume that that takes the pressure off, or whatever business deal was leading to those things being implemented, someone else in the room can say, we don't actually need to do that. We don't actually need that at all. We're completely fine. Let's just do something good.
But you say that, but unfortunately, one of the more, probably one of the lucrative things, sorry, probably one of the reasons that they were purchased in the first place was their high profit turnover. So they would, Microsoft are going to look at that and be like, yes, you do have a bad reputation and Fallout 76 is bad, but it still makes money hand over fist. It proves that people will buy into a brand and a video game IP, even if it is incredibly subpar.
Even if it ships with a bin bag.
Even people are people have like destroyed the reputation of Fallout 76. There are still thousands of people playing it. Like,
I mean, that was the whole thing with the player numbers, that even amongst the worst of it, when it's just after it launched, it still had a healthy player base of people trying different things. The people losing all their loot because they put it in one of the shared chests and then it deleted itself.
Did I tell you that I went back on it with Osley to capture some footage?
You did not. Did you have fun?
Mate, I went back on it because I was just like, I installed it. It was something like 75 gig, like all the updates and stuff like that. And Osley was like, right, okay, I'm in the game. Come and join me. 2 hours it took to get us into joining into a game of just like back and forth trying all these different things, and finally we got into the same game, ran down a hill, shot a few things, the loot that I was about to pick up disappeared, and then the server kept on timing out, which meant that every item that I tried to pick up, it wouldn't let me pick up because it was communicating with the server saying, oh, he's taking this out of the game world,
right
oh no, it's not. And I was like this is rubbish, I hate this.
I had that when it first launched. I was just like, I find, because I was like, I always have this thing I need to know, like, it's anything, any game midnight launch, I need to know. And so Fallout 76 I dove into, and it was mostly the same at launch. It was just so buggy, the character models were glitching out everywhere, and it was just everyone's like trying to equip party hats that are sort of jutting out the side of their heads. So it was just like, I don't know if maybe at some point they'll, I don't know, like abandon it or put their focus elsewhere, but 76 feels like a failed experiment.
Do you know what I want to do though? Like, I don't know why this has just popped into my head. I want to get the guys back together and go and play Tom Clancy's Wildlands. Remember, we all got copies of that?
That was so much, well, I was going to say it was so much fun. It was fun, but we were laughing at the game.
Wildlands was so broken. Like, that's a game that is bad that I want to play more of. I don't know why I've got like a hankering for like...
I convinced myself to get get Ghost Recon Breakpoint again. I must know. And they, because they did new Splinter Cell DLC for it, they got Michael Ironside back. Did. And I was like, look, if this is the only way I can get to hang with Mr. Ironside, I'll pay the money. I'll buy Breakpoint. It was also really bad. So not as bad as Wildlands, but just don't believe the nostalgia hype voice in your head.
Yeah.
Next question, possibly final question from Pinky. Sure. Have CDPR totally, insert YouTube appropriate word here, have CDPR shagged Cyberpunk 2077. I adore Witcher 3, but I seriously doubt I'll bother with Cyberpunk until it's on sale for under £25 for the full PS5 version. Even then, I'm not sure they deserve my money anymore. It is interesting because even to this day, it's still not on the PlayStation Store. It just hasn't been sold for months now.
I am still one of those times where I'm just like, why? Why did this have to happen? Like, because as I've said, mm-hmm. I reviewed the game for What Culture, and I did give it a 5-star rating because
well, the PC one still has 90 odd on Metacritic.
But the thing is that like, I feel like I've got to defend the version that I played. Like I was given a copy that was advanced, had all the patches delivered to it, priority because it was on PC, mm-hmm. and therefore I got the best possible experience that I could. And I was running it on a laptop, a PC that actually could handle the like extreme settings. Mm-hmm. I feel gutted for anyone who got that title and played the versions that I've seen going out for the PS4 and the Xbox 360. God, it looked like it was running on that Xbox One. So yeah, I do feel that their response to that, promising the patch and then having it delayed, having this pseudo cyber attack, can we believe that it's real or not? Like completely quiet on the Western front of like what the developer is actually doing. It is a PR nightmare, but unfortunately, instead of leaning into it and trying to make it better, it seems like everything is either going against them or they're making situations worse for themselves.
Well, even before the whole cyber attack thing, I mean, the cyber attack thing was definitely real. Like, obviously, they refused to bow to the demand. So now a lot of the source code for Cyberpunk and Witcher is like on the black market. But even before then, when they put the roadmap out for how they were going to fix it, it was a roadmap, quote unquote, because it was just an empty timeline with two patches at the start for January and February and then nothing until the end of the year. When they're doing the PS5 version or the Xbox Series versions. So they're in a weird spot. And I don't know, I keep hovering around because I love Cyberpunk. I had a hell of a time with it. I really enjoyed it. I played through it all on PS5. The only thing for me that got in the way was that it kept crashing, but I still really loved it. And so I keep going back and forward on, you know, there's the marketed version of Cyberpunk. There's the one that was going to go up against GTA, that was still an advertising campaign that ran for so long after launch. It might even still be live now, showing V sitting down with a mob boss and they're like, oh, if you want to take over the city, you're going to have to do all this stuff. Yeah. That is not the vibe of that game at all. Like, you're not GTAing your way across Night City. And so I totally get that that's an objective mess, an objective failure of marketing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how they pull that back, because their recent thing was that the new patch is going to be more substantial. It's going to add stuff in. But does that mean wanted systems and police chases and all this GTA type stuff? Like, I doubt it. I think they probably have shagged it.
Yeah, you're basically just changing the tone of the game to fit what people wanted rather than the vision that they clearly intended but was missold throughout their own marketing team and stuff like that. I think that we're going to be sitting here in maybe a year's time and maybe putting Cyberpunk, hopefully, on those lists that include the likes of No Man's Sky and Final Fantasy XIV, of the ones that started bad, but then came good in the end. Like, they had a lot of work put into it. That's what I really hope is going to happen, because there is a story that deserves to be told there. There's a game, there's a ton of work that's gone into it, and a world that is so rich and vibrant that it is worth losing yourself into. Mm. But the problem is that it's just not the game that many people were sold. And I feel like that is a catastrophic failure of communication that just sucks.
Yeah, I think we benefited by not being glued to all the trailers. You obviously were right to do that. If get hyped, get carried away or whatever. I'm glued to the Mortal Kombat movie trailer. Watch it five times a day. Don't worry about it. But if you were completely glued to all the Cyberpunk stuff, then that is a version of the game that they completely missold. I think we benefited by not sticking to that stuff. Like, I only really watched the initial 45-minute gameplay reveal that they did, the one that was like shown behind closed doors and then shown to the public. Mm-hmm. And I mostly stayed away from every little thing that they put up. So when I went through it, I was like, well, this is great. I don't care about wanted systems. I don't care about the GTA stuff, because why would I be looking for it? It's a first-person RPG in a city. Like, I don't need GTA action stuff. But then you go back and you look at just how missold those things were, just how many TV spots there are and how many different pieces of material they put out there that push it in that direction. And I'm like, yeah, man, that is horrible. And if you were getting psyched for GTA with augments, then it's not
going to be that.
So I think it's a tough one. I honestly just would write off this year. I think it's going to be next year when it's even close to being ready.
I think that to go back to the roundabout YouTube friendly expression, they've put the tip in, but they haven't fully committed yet. So
they sort of took it out again.
Yeah, it's all a mess.
Yeah, try to decide what the hell they're doing on a Friday afternoon. But you know, you make it work. But yes, this has been the Untitled Banter podcast. Thanks everybody for all your questions. We'll catch you again next week. We might do a take trough special where I go back through all the other questions, because there's so many even that were submitted this week, which is so lovely to see. And I want to try and get to as many as possible. But for now, this has been the Untitled Banter podcast. I've been Scott Tilford, joined by Jules Gill.
Thanks for having me.
I will catch you next week.
UBB, UBB, UBB.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.